Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy and Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by Sharon Roberts. Sharon is the co-owner of Roberts & Roberts in Plano, Texas. She has had years of experience training contractors, most recently as the National Training Manager for Sales and Business for Lennox Industries. She is an expert in selling to women. She is also an experienced sales representative, contracts administrator, and sales training manager. Sharon holds a degree in business and public relations from the University of Texas and is the author of the book, Selling to Women. This month's tape will provide you with a very different perspective on how to approach women in the marketplace. The tips on this tape should help you not only increase your sales to women, but your profitability as well.
Sigmund Freud said, "Despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, I have not yet been able to answer the great question that has never been answered. What does a woman want?" Well, we're going to answer that question, at least as it applies to sales. What it is that women want, whether they're married or single, or whether they're housewives or professionals. There are 97 million women in the United States. And those 97 million women make 87% of all purchases. And they aren't just buying groceries, cosmetics, and a lot of clothes. Now, granted, they are buying an awful lot of groceries. They buy lots of cosmetics and a whole bunch of clothes. But they also are buying millions of dollars worth of those items that often have been considered male purchases. And that includes products and services. Things like cars, life insurance, tires, heating and air conditioning equipment. It may surprise you to know that women purchase 50% of all the cars that are sold in North America. A full 50% they purchase outright on their own. They purchase 50% of all the life insurance and 40% of sporting equipment. What we're going to be talking about is how you can increase your sales by at least 30% by selling to these women the way they prefer to be sold to. Now, many sales are lost because salesmen really underestimate or just don't understand her role in a joint buying decision when she's with her husband or with a male companion. Women are significant influencers in many products and services when she is not the only decision maker. And when I say significant influencer, it's very important for you to understand that that doesn't mean she just endorses someone's decision. She is actively involved in many, many joint decisions. It doesn't matter whether women are married or single, housewives or professionals. They represent a huge, huge growing and a powerful buying force. They're making many, many independent buying decisions. So by understanding and appreciating what these women prefer, and then adjusting your business or the way you treat women, just a little bit perhaps, can make a huge difference in your sales. And you know the really neat thing about it is, you don't have to blow the top off your marketing budget, and you don't even have to resort to those high-pressure sales techniques that women don't like and you're probably not very comfortable with. About 3 years ago, ABC TV's Primetime Live program featured a segment that you may have seen, Men and Women Are Different. Now, that's an interesting title, isn't it? The segment was based on a major scientific research project that had just concluded and after extensive analysis revealed that men and women were in fact different. Now you may be smiling a little bit there, but beyond the obvious physical differences, the researchers had isolated four key areas of difference. How we communicate, how we socialize, how we shop, and how we make decisions. Now, what we're going to be focusing on today is how women make buying decisions. I don't know about you, but it occurred to me that these four areas were the basis for jokes that we've heard all our lives. Think about the comedians, the TV sitcoms, at the office, family gatherings, absolutely anywhere that people get together. Through the years, how many jokes have you heard about how women talk and talk and talk, and also what they talk about, and how that they shop, how we love to shop till we drop? We all must have heard hundreds of these jokes throughout our lifetime. And you know the problem with these jokes? Sometimes, guys, I think you get to believing them. And that is costing you many, many sales. It's very important to step back and ask, what sort of picture, honestly, what sort of mental picture do I have of women as buyers of products and services? Have all these age-old jokes created a picture in my mind that causes me, maybe even unconsciously, to treat these women with less respect as serious buyers than I treat the men? Now, most salesmen would absolutely never be deliberately disrespectful to women. But you know, I believe many salesmen really aren't sure what women consider respectful treatment these days. In fact, many salesmen are genuinely gun-shy of selling to women. With the collapse of those rigid, very traditional gender roles, it can really be a challenge for men to figure out just exactly what behavior and what language they should be using when selling to women. One man in one of the workshops made the statement, "I feel like I'm walking a tightrope, just trying to find that balance between being tough enough and yet being charming." Well, women can relate to that same dilemma, because you see, we've been walking a tightrope for a lot of years. Women are also gun-shy when they're dealing with salesmen, because we have a tough time finding that balance between being assertive enough and yet maintaining the right amount of charm. That's a very elusive balance. Now, if we're too charming or too nice, then often we aren't taken very seriously. However, if we do cross that invisible line and we're too assertive, then you guys know what we get called. Now, many salesmen highly respect women in many dimensions, but really not as serious independent buyers. And this is a very critical distinction. It's very possible for you to highly respect women as wives, mothers, teachers, doctors, but really not as serious buyers when it comes to major purchases of those products and services, particularly those that have been considered male purchases. You may even unconsciously have that opinion. And it's very important to seriously consider and reflect, how do you really perceive women as buyers? Now, since we know that most salesmen like to make just about as many sales as they possibly can, in fact, they're paid on commission, so it's to their advantage to make as many sales as they can. It just doesn't add up that they do anything to irritate women and lose sales. Yet over and over, women from all areas of the country, from the country areas to the major metropolitan areas, say salesmen talk down to them. They patronize them or treat them in a condescending way. The surprising thing is that women find that the 20-something and 30-something salesmen are just as likely to be condescending to them. Now, since we know salesmen need and want to make more money, and most of them really are good, caring men, how is it that so many of these well-intentioned salesmen come across to women as being patronizing and condescending? Here are just a few phrases that I imagine you have heard women say. "He talked down to me. He treated me like I was stupid. The guy was just patronizing." He wouldn't make eye contact. He kept looking away. He kept looking at his watch. He interrupted me over and over. The guy just didn't listen. Or if they were with their husband or a male companion, here's what you're likely to hear. He ignored me, and he just talked to my husband. Sometimes the way that manifests itself is you talk to the husband or the man throughout most of the conversation, and at the tail end of the sentence, the last word or two, sometimes she gets a little of your eye contact. That feels condescending. Another statement you're likely to hear is, he talked to my husband about the important things, such as the system design, how things worked, and all he talked to me about were the incidental things, color choices, or how something looked. Now, it's not that women don't care about color choices and appearance. They do. But they certainly do care just as much about other things, such as the system design and the important things that you would always speak to a man about. I'm sure you've heard your wife or women friends say these very things. Did you take them seriously, or do you just blow it off, as these women are just super sensitive these days? Or perhaps you thought that that particular salesman was just a jerk. But more than likely, the salesman didn't intend to be a jerk. I think it's very important for us to really talk about the issue of whether or not women are just overly sensitive these days. Now, I know it's very difficult for men to comprehend condescending treatment as a standard way of doing business because you really rarely encounter it, at least not to the degree that women do. I have to tell you, the situations that women are often involved with range from things that are just really amusing to absolutely outrageous. I'll give you an example of one that is somewhere on the amusing end of the scale. Recently, my husband and I went to a studio to have a picture made. Throughout the entire process, the 30-something photographer referred to my husband as the gentleman, and every time he referred to me as the little lady. You know, they're always giving you instructions such as, "So the gentleman, if you'll stand right here," and "little lady, if you'll sit right here." I wonder if it crossed this photographer's mind how that sounded and how it looked to me. Through the language that he used, he very clearly let me know that he did not see me as a very significant person. After all, I was the little lady. How many times has a salesman ever asked you men, "Are you the head of the household?" Probably not that often, if ever. However, that question is regularly asked of women. And another thing, women are frequently called honey, dear, sweetheart. Can you even imagine a saleswoman speaking to you like that? Probably not, because it really just isn't likely to happen. But for women, these are frequent, everyday occurrences. I don't think they're the kinds of things you say to people that you really consider serious buyers. Are you or any of your people perhaps saying things like this? Whether it's intentional or unintentional, the result is exactly the same. We don't think we're being overly sensitive. We think perhaps you are not being sensitive enough. Now, since we know that men want to make a lot more sales when dealing with women, I think it's important that we begin to talk about these differences and what we can do to help you increase your sales. To illustrate how we communicate differently, I would like for you to think about your spouse or significant other saying this little phrase to you. "We have to talk." Just four little words. "We have to talk." Now, if you haven't had that experience, Let me assure you, that statement usually means very different things to a man than it does to a woman. A gentleman in one of my workshops said, "You are so right about that. It's about 3 hours different." Or how about when she's getting dressed to go out for a very special event, and she walks out holding 2 dresses and asks you, "Which one of these would you like me to wear?" Now, for those of you who innocently said, "Oh, I don't care. Either one is fine," discovered that that meant something very different to you than it did to her. To her, that translates roughly to, "I could care less. It really isn't important to me one way or the other." Now, men explain that isn't what they meant at all. They say that their "I don't care" simply means they're both great. I like them both. So it seems that women and men say the very same words, but oh, they do seem to mean very different things. So is it possible that this communication difference has significant implication to how we sell our products and services to women? I don't think there's any question. The answer is absolutely yes, it does. Now, much has been written about women and men and communication differences within the past 2 or 3 years, at least as it speaks to personal relationships. In fact, you may have read a couple of very popular bestsellers, "You Don't Understand" by Deborah Tannen, and John Gray's "Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus." John Gray says it's as though we are from 2 different planets. So if misunderstandings occur in personal relationships where men and women know each other very well, it certainly should come as no surprise that there are an awful lot of misunderstandings and confusion between salesmen and women who hardly know each other. Now, some of the misunderstandings are just plain funny, and of course, an awful lot of them cause a lot of lost sales. Now, not only do we speak differently, but men and women listen very differently. Women and men have been taught to converse in a very different way, particularly when we're talking about business conversations. From a very early age, we get the message on what's appropriate for women and what's really appropriate for men. Have you noticed that women and men listen differently? Perhaps you've noticed that when women are listening, they smile a lot, they make lots of eye contact, they nod their heads, they say things like uh-huh and They have facial expressions that clearly communicate understanding. Now, a lot of times, men misinterpret what all this smiling and eye contact and head nodding, all this facial expression, they misunderstand what that means. They believe it means that the woman wants to hear more. So, the salesman keeps on talking, and the woman keeps on smiling and nodding, and he keeps on talking. But as she is smiling and nodding, she is silently saying, "I can't believe how rude this guy is. He is just rattling on and on. He hasn't given me a chance to get a single word in edgewise. What a jerk." But you know, I bet he really isn't a jerk. I believe he just misunderstands her polite listening behavior. Now, here's where the misunderstanding comes in. Women are socialized to take turns listening and speaking. Women are socialized to never interrupt. Instead, you take turns. When the other person has finished speaking, then you take your turn. Now, men are taught a very different set of guidelines. When you want a turn, you just interrupt. Just jump right in there and make your point. So you see, the salesman would probably be shocked if he knew she thought he was a jerk. Because from his point of view, if she has something to say or a question to ask, why doesn't she just jump right in there and say it? So guideline number one, let her complete her thought or question. Above all, avoid interrupting her. Now, men, when you listen, did you know you tend to have a neutral facial expression? I don't mean blank, but neutral. And did you know that your eye contact wanders? Now, since we aren't getting the smiles, the nodding, those uh-huhs and ums, but instead we see your eye contact wandering around the room, and we see you occasionally looking at your watch, I'll tell you what that means to us. We think it means you aren't interested. Or even worse than that, that you aren't listening. This, gentlemen, is usually the death knell to a sale. Women do not buy from salesmen who they believe are not listening to them. Let me tell you a quick story about a friend of mine, Kim. Now, Kim is a young professional woman, and she was living in Boston and was considering relocating to New Haven, Connecticut, which was part of her new sales territory. She was driving through an area of New Haven that had some beautiful old brownstones, much like the areas she was moving from in Boston. So on the spur of the moment, she just walked into the nearest realtor's office to see if any of those wonderful old brownstones were available. So sure enough, there was a salesman there, and she enthusiastically is pointing across the street and showing him these beautiful old brownstones, inquiring if they had any available. At that point, the salesman interrupted her, and this is what he said. "Great! I can show you a brand new high-rise right downtown." Kim was absolutely floored. She couldn't believe it because it was obvious to her this salesman hadn't heard a single thing that was important to her. But the story didn't end there. Kim walked out, and she took her business somewhere else. And then she warned lots of other women to avoid this real estate company. How much business do you suppose you or someone in your company may have lost simply because you didn't listen? Probably more than we think. You know, some salesmen even admit that they don't listen. They say that they just tune out. And they tell me the reasons are things like, "Well, I usually know what she needs before she finishes talking, so I just tune out." Or, "I just wish she'd get to the point faster." Some say, "Well, I just really can't help it. I just find myself daydreaming." Well, regardless of the reason, the bottom line is, even though you don't intend to be rude or condescending, that's still exactly how it comes across. And not listening is one of the worst forms of condescension. So guideline number 2, come on guys, let us see some facial expression. Make steady eye contact. We don't ask you to stare, you can break eye contact. And I should point out here that we need that to be horizontal eye contact. And let's keep it above the neck. It's very important, horizontal eye contact above the neck. Did you know that you guys have a tendency to make lots of vertical eye contact? You know, it's kind of a sweeping vertical. It kind of looks like you're checking out the merchandise. We'd really like you to avoid that. So please give us a smile, nod, make some confirming statements, or ask us some checking questions. That'll let us know that you heard us, you understood us, you really know what it is that we want. For example, "I see what you're saying. The family room tends to have very big temperature swings, really warm, and then it gets really cool. But that isn't happening in any of the other rooms." Or you can say something like, "So if we begin the repairs at 9 in the morning and we're completed and have full power restored by 3, will that fit your schedule?" So you see, making confirming statements and asking checking questions not only lets her know that you really heard and understood, but it helps make sure you stay tuned in. And now for difference number 2. The experts learned that women and men socialize differently. Do you have trouble believing that? In every single workshop, I am asked by the men in the group, "Why do women travel in packs to the restroom?" Well, I can tell you it has nothing to do with the restroom per se, but it surely does speak to how women socialize in packs. Now, this phenomenon speaks to one of the major keys to the increased success and profit of your business. And what I'm talking about here is the very powerful women's hidden network. What you don't know or understand about this powerful network can be costing you a bundle in sales. I have a question for you. What do you call it when four or five men are standing around talking? So far, in every workshop, the men always answer, having a discussion or shooting the bull. Now, I have another question for you. What do you call it when four or five women are standing around talking? Invariably, the men in the audience shout out, gossiping. When asked to explain the difference between the two, the men say they are talking about workplace issues, current events, solving the problems of the world. And they say the women, on the other hand, are talking about, well, just stuff, personal things. Do you or any of your employees view women as gossips who spend their time chattering about trivial, personal things, stuff? Or do you think of them as communicators who share lots of information, the good as well as the bad, about your business? I am convinced that men would be absolutely amazed how much women discuss their buying experiences. Not just what they buy, but specifically how they were treated. Because you see, women really value how they are treated. They value quality treatment as much as they value quality products and services. They don't want to choose between one or the other. They expect both. It's very important to women that they are treated with dignity and respect as serious buyers. And women actively seek out recommendation from family and friends, and they readily share information with many other women. That is what we mean by the women's hidden network. Women want other women to enjoy the benefits of buying from someone who provides quality treatment as well as quality products and services. They are particularly concerned about getting references in those areas where they know they are likely to be ripped off. And I think we've seen enough shows on TV and we've read enough to know that that isn't a figment of a woman's imagination. Most of these purchases where they have often been ripped off are commonly described as male products, and that includes cars, life insurance, heating and air conditioning equipment, certainly appliance repairs, and that's just to name a few. Now, the people who do customer service research tell us that 96% of dissatisfied customers, that's unhappy customers, never say a word to the owner, and most of them will never buy from you again. However, they will tell a minimum of 16 people about that bad experience, and more than likely, they'll tell 25 people or more. And you know, that's easy for women because, remember, we travel in packs. And we love to socialize, so we find ourselves in group situations very frequently. Women love to spare other women lousy treatment or defective products, and we do that by the women's network. There is a home alarm system company in Dallas, Texas, that will never get thousands and thousands of dollars of business that they will never know they lost. And they lost it by way of the women's network. Here's how it happened. Julie was shopping for a home alarm system. After choosing the company that met her requirements, she made arrangements to meet with the salesman so they could finalize the details, the installation of the system. Now, you need to keep in mind that this salesman who had inspected her house and with whom she'd already had in-depth discussions, he knew her well. He had dealt with her exclusively and had never met her husband. Julie's husband walked in just as the salesman was writing up the contract. She introduced them, and from that moment forward, the salesman directed all his attention to her husband. So Julie's husband excused himself and started up the stairs. But the salesman called out to him, "It'll just take a minute to change the contract. How do you spell your name?" Julie's husband was a little bit confused and asked the salesman, why did he need his name on the contract? And you know, that was a very good question. Julie is the one that had done the research about alarm systems. She'd interviewed the potential contractors. She'd already talked about it with her husband and had already chosen the one that she thought was the best for them. But you know, she sure didn't like being treated as a non-person. She didn't think that was very courteous or very respectful. And she figured that that's pretty much what she'd be able to expect for any future service or maintenance that would be required with that system. So she didn't buy from that company. But she did buy an alarm system from a competitor who did treat her respectfully. Julie shared this bad experience at a dinner party. That's how I learned about it. I was there with 17 other people. We really appreciated her warning us to avoid them. That's how the Women's Network works. And I assure you that this company has no idea how much business they will never get because of the Women's Network. Now, many salesmen have told me it was ridiculous that Julie reacted the way she did. They suggested that she should have been more assertive and just explained to the salesman that she was the one that was making the decision, not her husband. And I think it's important to point out that that very often is a man's point of view. But it's important here for us to talk about what the woman's point of view is. Her point of view is the one that matters because, you see, the quality treatment is absolutely essential to her. Now, women respect that men often don't think that the service is as important as the product or the service. In fact, many men will say, if the product or service is what you want, then so you didn't get treated quite the way you wanted. But see, for women, that's equally important to us. So keep in mind that it is a critical difference, but it is very important. Women want to be treated just as well as men want to be treated. They value how they are treated just as much as a quality product or service. And they don't have to settle for one or the other. They will continue to shop until they find a company that will deliver both. Quality treatment and quality products and services. The businesses who understand, appreciate, and then deliver what she values will prosper even in very difficult economic times. Because you see, women are very, very loyal customers. Your business is on the Women's Network. Do you know what they're saying about your business? So guideline number 3 is treat her like the serious buyer she is. Treat her with exactly the same respect you treat your male customers. And remember, women don't gossip, but they do share lots of information about your business. And guideline number 4, provide references to her. References from any source are always valuable, but references from other women are extremely important, particularly if your product or service is one of those that has usually been considered a male product or service. And now for difference number 3. Now, these very same learned experts also discovered that women and men shop differently. Now, men and women who have made just one trip to the outlet mall together know that's a fact. After about 30 minutes, you men are exhausted and making noises about just waiting out here. As you point to that little bench out there in the center, you know, the one where the other tired-looking men are hanging out? Now, she, on the other hand, is bright-eyed and full of energy, and she's just getting started. And she looks at you with that look that lets you know she's awfully disappointed that you aren't going to be joining her because she thought you'd share this wonderful experience together. Now, some people think women's love for shopping actually goes back thousands of years when men were the hunters and women were the gatherers. Well, I don't really know about that, but I do know that an awful lot of women really do love to shop. And that can be a significant advantage to you. If you are an interested consultant who sincerely listens and asks her questions. Women are open to many ideas, and they do their homework, particularly when making a large purchase. They ask lots of questions because they want to make sure they have all the information they need to make a good decision. And that information includes how the product works, safety features, warranty and maintenance information, the same things that a lot of men are interested in. Women do their homework not only to make good decisions, but they really don't want to get ripped off. Now, a lot of salesmen comment that it seems to them that women are as interested in finding out about them as they are about the product or service. And that's probably true, because actually, women are interviewing you from the standpoint of considering a long-term commitment that goes far beyond this particular sale. Because remember, women are very concerned about the level of service and how they will be treated after the sale. So provide references. Provide those things that will let them know you can be trusted. Now, much of the time, the shopping actually begins with the phone call that she makes to your business. The way in which she is treated during this phone call will determine whether your company is ever even considered. How do you treat her when she calls? What do you say to her? Many times, receptionists and sales assistants are taught to qualify the buyer. Usually, they are taught to find out if the person on the phone is the decision maker. For example, they usually ask women, "Are you the head of the household?" Whether single or married, this question comes across as, "Do you have the authority to make a decision?" And that is blatantly condescending. Just consider for a moment, do you ever ask men questions to determine their role? Probably not. Do you know what your people say when they talk to women when they call in or walk into your business? Maybe a past employer taught them to behave that way, even though you don't think it's a good idea. It's a real good idea to find out what are your people saying to the women who call or stop into your business. Most businesses would be shocked at the amount of business that they lose at this very critical juncture of the sales process. So guideline number 5, assume she is the final decision maker. Treat her as a serious shopper who's fully capable of making a buying decision. Never ask, "Are you the head of the household?" or "Who will be making the buying decision?" And now for the 4th difference. The experts concluded that women and men make decisions differently. You know, it's funny, but that statement never fails to bring snickering from the men in an audience. Along with the snickering, there are always lots of comments that very clearly label the female decision process as maybe just slightly inferior. Sounds to me like an awful lot of men are believing some of those old jokes that we talked about earlier. I want to let you know that the female decision process is quite normal. This is a real good place for you to take a personal attitude check to examine your own beliefs and values. Remember, what you really believe about women and how they make decisions will somewhere, somehow, in what you say, your tone of voice, or in your body language, the real you, what you're really thinking, is going to come out. And that could happen when you're trying to close the biggest sale of your career. Now, here are 8 significant points to keep in mind about women's buying decision process. So, point number 1, women tend to take a big picture approach to making a decision. And what I mean by that is they base their decision on both facts and personal aspects. Men, on the other hand, tend to make decisions on facts alone. Now, it's true that it takes longer to make a decision when you consider more elements, but you see, for women, the personal aspects are an essential element of that decision process. A lot of times, this really frustrates salesmen, because they often see these personal concerns as inconsequential and sometimes just plain silly. And they can't imagine that she would even bother to give them just a few minutes consideration. But remember, as always the case, It's the customer's values that really matter, not your own. Point number two, if it appears that the woman is overly concerned with relationship issues, that is probably her way of trying to determine how well your company will support her after the sale or service is completed. Remember, she's looking to see, can she trust you? Can she trust you, particularly in the long term, not only to complete the product or service, but to treat her with the dignity and respect that she so highly values. This is a very important part of her concept of value, and it must be addressed. Point number three, women are not likely to buy on the first call. Now, I know that's disappointing to an awful lot of men, but she really isn't likely to buy on the first call unless two conditions have been met. The first one is, she really does need a recommendation from a trusted friend or relative. And then she has to be satisfied with the research that she's done. She needs to know and be comfortable with the information she has. And remember, that goes back to maybe the service, the warranty, how the thing works, as it applies to warranty, those kinds of things. Even then, she still may want to review the information before she makes the final decision. But above all, do not pressure her at this point to make a decision. Women hate high pressure. Point number four, women are open to many ideas. And as I've mentioned, they do their homework and they shop around to be sure they're making good decisions. This is a place rather than being frustrated, but if you can think of yourself as a consultant who is providing information to help her make a good decision, that'll have a huge payoff because she will have such a high opinion of you, and I assure you it will be rare because many people simply don't want to take the time to answer her questions. Point number five, women like to include other people in their decision process. They will almost always include those people that are going to be directly affected by the decision, but they also really value the points of view of their colleagues, friends, and other family members. And only when they have considered all that information and the feelings of those people that are going to be directed, only then will they feel comfortable to make that decision. Now, point number six is very important for you to understand. Women can make decisions on their own. They don't have to have other people's input, but they value that. They value other people's points of view. In any case, it's important for them to consider those that will be impacted by their decision, and it doesn't matter whether that's at work or whether it's at home. Point number seven. Now, here is something that sometimes just drives salesmen crazy. Women may work through their decision process out loud. They may step through all the details that's impacting their decision. And that may include things like a trip out to the airport. Doesn't matter. They will often say out loud all of the details. This is a very different process for most men. Because most men, you see, will silently mull over the facts in their mind and then announce their decision. And point number eight. Women often use a non-sequential approach in seeking information to help them make decisions. Now, this is a style of reasoning that can also be extremely frustrating to salesmen because it doesn't follow their own logic. Women tend to approach the problem at hand from several directions, and they apply information from a variety of sources. In contrast, men tend to approach the problem in one area while applying a very sequenced approach to arrive at a decision. This sequenced approach is practically impossible for women because it is so natural for them to take in many details, and many of those details are the ones that men would consider very inconsequential. Now, unfortunately, at this state, many salesmen deduce that she's a scatterbrain. She is just out of control, can't get focused, but in any case, that she is absolutely unable to make a decision. In fact, I had a friend who a salesman said to her, "Why can't a smart lady like you make a decision?" And you know what? She did. She decided she wasn't going to buy from him, but she did buy from his competitor. Now, a lot of times, salesmen will say things like, well, let's just take one thing at a time now. Or, well, I tell you what, why don't we just focus on this? Statements like this are so frustrating and irritating to women, and often they absolutely kill the chance of a sale. Because you see, as far as she is concerned, she's working through this decision process in a way that's very normal to her, out loud and unstructured. And you know the irony of it? She's probably been fighting the urge to snap her fingers and urge that salesman to keep up. Now, a lot of times, salesmen pick up on just one thing that the woman says, and they go for the hard sell. But she doesn't want him to start offering solutions until he's asked the questions and listened carefully to her answers. But we understand that in his mind, he likes to find a solution and help her fix it. Though his spirit of intent may be on target, it's very frustrating to her. Because, you see, she knows that unless he really listens to her carefully, that's the only way he's going to understand exactly what she needs. Women value someone who will listen, someone who will really listen. They do not like the hard sell, period. So guideline number 6 is listen very carefully. Resist the urge to shortcut her reasoning process. Make confirming statements so that she knows that you did hear her and that you did understand exactly what she was saying. Always answer her questions and her concerns courteously and very completely. Now, unfortunately, an awful lot of men object that this just takes too long. They believe that this process wastes way too much of their time that could be spent better somewhere else. Now, if you choose to share that point of view, of course you can do that. But I believe you should keep in mind that you're making a conscious decision to write off 50% or more of your potential market. Who in the world has so much business they can afford to take that kind of a risk? You never know where those sales are coming from. I'd like to just share a quick story with you so you can really see the power of the women's network and how sometimes when it looks like he made the decision, actually she was very much a key player in the decision. A couple of years ago, my husband and I were shopping for a car, and like many of you, we went out and purchased the books, all the materials to see what was available and how we could get the best buy. At the same time, a friend, Andrea, was also needing a car. So as I was doing the research, I would talk with her frequently about that. She and her husband had not really had an opportunity yet to go out and really begin shopping. So I would share with her the information we had discovered and all of the experiences at the various dealerships where we would go. It was unbelievable, many of the things that happened, and each of these experiences I would share with Andrea. Don't go here, don't go there, this is how I was treated. Ultimately, I walked into a dealership with my husband, and the salesman, from the moment we walked in, treated me with equal respect. He handed me a business card at the same time he handed my husband a business card. Do you always hand a business card to both the man and the woman? But throughout this entire process, it was very clear this man saw me with equal respect as he did my husband. So I went back and I was sharing this experience with my friend Andrea, suggesting they might want to go over to this dealership and take a look at these cars. And I told her how much I paid for it and the whole thing. She picked up the phone, called her husband, who happened to be off that afternoon, and suggested that he might want to drop by that dealership and take a look at that car. And oh, by the way, I should mention that I took Andrea for a test drive in my brand new car, which I had just bought the day before. She said to Jim that she had been for a test drive, she really liked it, and she said, I tell you what, if you like it too, I say let's just go ahead and get it. So Jim went to the car dealership, looked at the car, asked to take a test drive, came back, and walked in, negotiated the deal, and by the way, it was the same good deal that I got, and said to the man, I'll take it. Now, Andrea and I laughed a lot about that because we suspect that that salesman was so impressed with how quickly this man made a decision. But I want to pose the question to you, who was the decision maker? And I want to leave you with one last thought. Never, never underestimate the power of a woman.
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Along with this month's tape, you also receive several other things. There is a short summary of the tape you just heard, a brief outline of the program for quick review, and you will also find a customer response card enclosed. There is a place on the card for your comments on this tape, as well as space for suggestions you would like to make for topics on future tapes. The response card is postage paid, so please write down a few comments and drop it in the mail. We would love to hear from you. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.